Lifehouse Church, the door is open. Jumping right in, we've been in a series called Wholehearted. This is our fourth week and possibly our final week, maybe not. I have some other thoughts the Lord's been working on my heart, but this message right here was kind of going to be the capstone of the whole thing. But as I'm going through, I'm discovering that this is really not like the final capstone. This is more of vision. I hope today to declare to you who we are at Lifehouse Church in a pretty simple kind of way. This wholehearted thing is more than a series. It's been a vision of what God's shaping us into. And that what he's shaping us into is a culture of vulnerability, a culture of trust. Can you imagine going to a church where honesty is like one of the predominant things? Because I think it's so common that we tend to hide our frailties, hide our brokenness, hide our weaknesses. We want to cover it up like we're supposed to be good boys and girls when we come to church. Memo, truth, fact, just so you know, you're just as messed up as I am. And that, you know, I'm pretty jacked up. We need Jesus. We're broken jars of clay with treasure inside. There's cracks in us, you know what I mean? Not trying to be rude or trying to be anything, not trying to be anything, but just a little lighthearted and sincere in the fact that we need God. And this whole concept is this idea of a community full of light of Christ. A city set on a hill that can't be hidden. Imagine this. Excuse me. Imagine this where brokenness is met with grace. I hear so many stories. My wife just told me a story the other day of just terrible things happening in the church. All over the country. There's like in the last several years, it's like there's been more and more just junk coming out. And I'm confident that happens because there's not a safe place to deal with your stuff. If I couldn't deal with my stuff, if I didn't have a circle of close friends around me, if I didn't have a circle where I can just be straight up and real, I don't know what I would do. I have to have a safe place to go, not just in my prayer closet, which is incredibly important, but a safe place to go, some brothers and sisters where I can just confess, where I can ask for help, where I can ask for prayer. That's the kind of community that Lifehouse Church is headed towards. A culture of trust and a culture of vulnerability. When this weekend, as some of you know, I was in Nebraska with my family. My youngest daughter got married. Yeah. Bringing somebody in that, like, as I begin to grow and mature in my journey, I have to balance out this reality of my standard of what I live by and what somebody else is coming into. And I'm speaking of my son-in-law. I can say that now. My son-in-law. He's on a different journey than I have been. And building relationship with my daughter and my son-in-law, calling them into relationship and growth and accountability without setting up these rules and all of this lifeless structure, you know what I mean? Demanding you do this and you do this and you'll be accepted. That's the typical message. But when we were out there, we had a beautiful opportunity on Wednesday night, had a dinner, sat down, and we begin to cast vision about the culture in our family, right, Matt? We begin to cast vision and identify who we are. And communicate to Lance and to Chloe, this is what you're coming into. This is who we are. This is the objective. We want to grow up before we grow old, right? We've been communicating that all along. We want to find maturity in Christ as we see the scripture calls us towards. So we sat at the table and we began to just dialogue about what this vision for our particular family looks like. We're not perfect, but we've got an aim. We're not perfect, but we're looking for Jesus. We're looking to be wholehearted, deal with our stuff, and have a safe place to do so. And what I'm finding is that that's not common. That's not common at all, to have leadership, to have care, to have grace, and to call one another in and to give grace to allow us space to grow and allow time, even if we're off, we just have a space to grow. That's the vision I want to communicate and declare. That's who Lifehouse Church is, and that's where we want to go. That's the vision we want to have. So kind of the idea for today is shining through the cracks and let the light in you spill into the world. And we can do that when we fully understand what these cracks in us can actually accomplish in Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to read it, 14 through 16. This is where we're going to sit today. You are the light of the world. Say this, I am the light.
I am the light.
A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So you are the light of the world. I think too often we think of ourselves as just cracked jars, fragile and broken, which is partly true. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He calls you light. He says to you that you are light. He doesn't say simply that you carry a treasure, but he says that you are light. And he says you're the light of the world. But the reality and the tension that I want to bring out today, this tension of your cracked jars, yet you are light of the world. So how can we be cracked jars and yet identify and understand that these cracks really are to be an expression of the Lord's love? Point today, wholehearted living means we stop hiding the light of Christ within us and start letting it spill into the world, even through our cracks. So let me give you four handles today. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This is kind of a roadmap for you today. If you want to snap a shot of that for you later, that's fine. But this is our roadmap, these four handles. Identity, you are the light of the world. Community, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Obstacle, or warning, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. The mission, or the witness. It's so they may see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Next slide says this, you are the light. This brings out this concept of identity before activity. You can't simply do something to make yourself right. But isn't that interesting? It's so often twisted. You think about church, you think about going, I can't tell you how many people I've spoke to over the years and say something like this, I'm not going to church, man. If I go in there, lightning's going to strike that building and, you know, it's not going to work for me because I'm really messed up. How many phrases of that nature have you heard over your span of life? I'm so bad, I can't go to church. It'll just ruin the soup, right? It'll mess up the whole meal if I show up because I'm really, really jacked up. I used to think like that. I had those ideas about myself, but Jesus says that you are the light before he measures your activity, before he measures your performance. He tells you straight up, you are the light. Light doesn't try to shine. It just does. See, when we talk about the reality that you are the light, it's this reality that God's speaking about your identity. When your identity is in Christ, you're simply going to have these characteristics and have this appetite that just comes with the package. See, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and this light really determines your identity. So what identity is kind of like what you believe, it gets revealed through how you act and how you behave. If you think you're a terrible person, then likely you're going to be doing terrible things. If you have a low threshold or a low quotient of what you think about yourself, then ultimately those things are going to leak out of you. But Jesus straight up tells us that you are light. And that light he's talking about is him, of course. You're the light now, not one day, not when you get it right, but today, right now, because Christ lives in you. You don't become light by being perfect. It's not what you do that determines who you are. It's who you are that determines what you do. Tracking with me? It's not what you do. Let that sink in for a minute. It's not what you do that determines who you are. I'm sure if you're anything like me, you blow it. You fail. You have trouble in your life. You have thoughts that torment you, whether right before you're going to sleep or when you wake up, you face off with something that you don't like. But it's not those things that determine you. His word and his truth in the scripture determines who you are. You are light, he says. John 8:12 says this, then Jesus spoke to them saying this, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Ephesians 5:8, this is interesting language here from Paul. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. See, Paul says you were once darkness, straight up. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Notice he doesn't say you used to be in darkness, but he says that you were darkness. That was your identity, and the things you did were unbecoming, were unpleasing to the Lord. They weren't from the nature of light. But when we received Christ and Christ in us, then what began to happen is we begin to manifest the light now. You were darkness, now you are light. So now by grace, your identity is shifted and you are light. So the call is simple. Be who you already are. Be who you already are. That's the point. That's one of the major points. That's this call to the vision of who we are at Lifehouse Church. Be who you already are. Deal with your stuff, man. Be vulnerable. Be real. If you got some issue, you got some trouble, find somebody that you can trust and connect with and say, listen, I need help. I promise you I do that. I have a group of men around me often that I communicate with. I'm not perfect. I might be the lead, the most obvious voice in this room that you hear, that they call me pastor. That's my title. But that means nothing except the responsibility that I have that God's called me to do. But it doesn't mean I don't have trouble. It doesn't mean I don't have issues. It doesn't mean I'm not a real person just like you. We all struggle. Let's find the way on together in a community of life. And stop being pretentious and stop playing church and just be real and find the way on, because I'm confident we serve a God who is not shy on miracles. He's not shy when it comes to setting us free. So instead of asking questions like, am I good enough? Let's ask thoughts like, Am I willing to let Christ's life shine through me? Because it's in you. Do you believe this about yourself? That Christ's light is in you? Do you believe that? Have you processed that? Or you believe that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory? If you're here and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've decided to follow him with your life, and you're willing to submit your life to the will of God, then you ought to be able to communicate that the light of God lives in you. If you've not made that decision, I can understand your hesitancy to consider that. And I would implore you today, if you've not made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do so. It's the best decision that you can ever make in your entire life. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life. But what's cool, Jesus doesn't just stop there. It's not just light about you. He says it's about a collective movement. He moves from the personal to the collective, from a single lamp to a glowing city, a city on a hill, which represents visibility and community, a city, a collective witness, which Jesus shifts from this whole point of just you now to the community. I love this thing. I love this thought here. I'm encouraged that because he's saying if the light of God's in you, right? And we know from 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we are jars of clay that have a treasure hidden inside. These jars crack. These jars have trouble, have issues, which represents our difficulties, our brokenness, our lack of perfection. But get it, those lines, those cracks are the very thing that allows the light to come out. So when we try to live perfect, we're being exclusive and we're keeping ourselves from the will of God because it's your testimony, it's your brokenness that is used by God to bring light. So today, really, if you've got any shame on you from something you've done, if you've got shame on you from some mindsets that you just can't shake, number one, you're not alone. At least I'm with you. Maybe there's others in the room, which I'm confident there is, but at least I'm here with you. And the other thing is, God is so willing to set us free. He's so willing to bring us to a place of community, bring us to a culture that's a living light, bring us to a culture that's vulnerable and trustworthy, that we can just be real and honest with our faith and grow at the same time. See, a city is about community. It's about structure. It's about a shared life. Alone, we're simply candles or a lamp. But together, we're a city that lights up the night. Like it says in Isaiah 2:3, that Jerusalem was called to be a city on a hill, a place that pilgrims and travelers could see a ways off. Jerusalem was about 2,500 feet above sea level, and travelers who would come could see it off in the distance. And you had people several times a year coming for these celebrations and these annual parties of parties of Passover and various feasts, and they would come, be walking for days and days, and they would see this. When Jesus was speaking this parable, they would have known that. The people that he was teaching would have understood this concept of Jerusalem being a city on a hill that can be seen. And he was communicating this point that you are that city. If we live in this culture, this mindset of being transparent with one another and trusting in the grace of God and not trying to live out of just performance, but out of community and out of authenticity and about genuine relationships, then you could be this light on a hill that all can see. And what happens when all see it? See, that's the impact that I believe Lifehouse Church desires to make in the city of Peoria, in the city of Glendale, that we would become a light and an open door that people can walk through. We want to be that open door, right? The door is open at Lifehouse Church. We want to find the way on, and we want to find the way in to grow up, to find Christ in us, ministering to others outside of us. So when Jesus said a city on a hill, his disciples could picture it. Jerusalem shining on a hill, lamps glowing in the night, pilgrims walking for days, finally see it in the distance. It was a sign of hope. It was a promise, a place of home. And Jesus says, that's what you're meant to be, a community that's full of light and a people that people can't miss, a city that others are drawn to. be the first house people run to every time. Be the first house that people run to every time. This is why our vision matters. We're not just building a church, we're building a city on a hill, a particular culture. When I sat at the table with my son-in-law, Lance, son-in-law, Matt, and our three different families, we have Pavkovs, Scotts, and now Guthrie. We just cast vision. I wasn't there as a dominating force. I'm there casting vision of this is who we are, and this is where we're going. We want to build, including Lance and Chloe, into our culture. This culture has meaning, has purpose, but this is what we want to do. We want to serve Jesus, and we want to grow up. We want to become what God has called us to become, whatever that requires of us, facing off with issues, facing off with our brokenness and our stuff. Let's just do it together. We don't have to be perfect, but we do have to move forward. And we see this concept right here that Jesus moved from a big city to this personal concept of a lamp under a basket. Lamp under a basket. This is the obstacle possibly of hiding or not being able to move forward because the light has been snuffed out. And he uses this language of absurdity. And he says this, like, who lights a lamp to snuff it out? I don't know if you've ever seen one of these snuffers on a stick before at a wedding or something. They'll reach over and they'll snuff out the candle with this little snuffer on a stick. Say snuffer. You say snuffer? All right. I just didn't want to say it alone. It's kind of a goofy word. Snuffer. This whole thing, he was snuff it out. And he's like, what sense does this make? Oil was costly. Nobody wants to waste oil in those days. So he's saying, who's going to light a lamp and then snuff it out with a bushel basket, which was about 8 to 9 liters in size and covered up. It was something very common on most people's shelves in their home, most people's counters in those days. It was something very common that they knew about. They knew what that was. And in those days, it was pretty obvious for a rabbi or something to use extreme language to make a simple point. But I wonder what bushel or what basket or what snuffer do you deal with? What keeps you from shining your light? What keeps you from revealing the life of God that's in you? Could it be fear? Could it be just, I'm simply stuck? And I have somebody in mind that I spent time with on the phone yesterday, quite a bit of time. And I was sharing things with you. The Lord wants to unstuck you. And it went something like this. I know you're disappointed. I know you've got expectations that didn't get met. I know it's painful for you. And I see that you're stuck. But would you allow the Holy Spirit just to begin to move through your heart? Would you allow Him to soften you up a bit? And just begin to be real with these disappointments? Church, I want to encourage you to name your disappointments. Don't stuff them. Don't hide them. Some of them are real, man. Painful, significantly painful. I want to encourage you to name them. I want to encourage you to grieve the losses that you've had. Forgive. Let go of bitterness. I promise you, it won't do you any good moving forward. It's going to hinder you. That's what Jesus was talking about. Who lights a lamp and then covers it up again? See, when we're fearful and we don't move forward, we're covering it up. When we're angry and we don't deal with it, we cover it up. When we feel rejected and we just hide it, we cover it up. I shared with you guys a little bit, but when I went to Israel this summer, I had all these grand expectations, but I found myself alone in a significant place, like going to Israel, I expected it to be this high, high experience and all that. Don't get me wrong, these places I went to and visited were phenomenal. It was like now reading the scriptures in 4K. I can see, wow, this was that. All of that was real. But the community that I went with, it wasn't my tribe. We couldn't connect. It's like I got ditched. I was like, wait up, guys, you know. Walking behind the group, or I was like, okay, I'm not welcome in this group. So I would fall back and try to connect with this group. And I couldn't relate with anybody. Anybody. I was disappointed. I was hurt. I was journaling about this pain. I came home and it was just this heavy on me. Like, what happened? What was that? And the Lord began to redeem some of that with me, and I began to write some new narratives about that, but I was so insecure on that trip in so many ways. I spent a lot of time journaling alone. I wrote a series for Lifehouse Church. You know, the whole series about fighting and warfare. When I came back home, I taught that because I spent so much time writing these series, these sermons while I was out there. But you deal with it. You find the way on. You deal with it. Begin to cough it up. And I happen to be one of those guys that I don't really hide much. If you want to know me, you just show up on a Sunday morning. You pretty much can, you'll hear my stories. If we meet personally, it's going to get even worse. I want you to know I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be plastic. I'm not interested. I know I'm broken. And no harm, no foul, but I know you're broken too. We need Jesus. We need to understand the purpose of the light of God in you. It's to share with others. It's not just to come and get filled and have a good time. That's an incredibly significant part of understanding our identity in the Father, to experience God. But the experience with God is unto ministering to others. The experience with God is unto sharing your faith with others so they can find the freedom that you found. Is that making sense to you? Gosh, would you lighten it up a little bit, Doug? This is crazy. So they may see. So they may see. This last point here. It's to be a witness. That's why we like having this baptism on the 28th. It's a public confession of your faith. It's a spiritual reality made public. That's what we want to and intend to do and intend to be is a people of authenticity. Consider this. We're not just cracked jars. We are a city. Not just fragments, but we're stained glass. I'm going to tell you a story here by a guy named Mark Chagall. Mark Chagall. You can throw that image up if you would, please. In the 60s, an artist by the name of Mark Chagall designed 12 stained glass windows, and this image just represents 3 of the 12. He built these things and completed this project in a synagogue at Hadassah Medical Center in Jerusalem. Each one represented a tribe of Israel. That's why there's 12, inspired by the blessing that's found in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. He took these broken shards of colored glass, pieces that by themselves really meant absolutely nothing, just broken pieces of glass, and he arranged them into breathtaking windows. So when sunlight would pour through them, they became what he called jewels of translucent fire. Jewels of translucent fire. See, that's the picture that Jesus paints when he says, "You are the light of the world." Your life may feel fractured, full of broken pieces. But in the hands of the master artist, those very fragments become a masterpiece. And when the light of Christ shines through, you're not just a cracked jar. You're a living window casting His beauty to the world. I want you to consider that. When you think about your brokenness, I want you to stop thinking about performance and start thinking about His love, His forgiveness, and authenticity. That's how we grow, not by being fake, but by being real. Not by being plastic, but by being honest and truthful. Because that's where and how the Lord can get to the iceberg that Andy talked about last week. The depth of who we are. You may feel fractured, but when Christ shines through you, you become stained glass, jewels of translucent fire. So a little bit of homework to leave you with is this week, don't hide your cracks. Don't hide. Let one of them at least be a window into your own life to share your testimony with somebody. Be real with somebody. Be open with somebody. Tell the truth. Find life and allow the light and the life that's in you to shine on somebody else. Can we stand with me? I want to just simply invite the Holy Spirit, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Response doesn't look like anything except your heart being in alignment with what the Spirit's doing today. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to move. You don't have to come up to the front, although some will, and that's fine. But I want to give you an opportunity in a moment just to receive the Spirit and what He's doing. We covered a lot this morning, and there's a lot of reality, and there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of stuff to deal with in your heart. God knows who you are, and He's got a plan, a perfect plan for you. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that You would come right now. Father, would You touch every single person in this room? Would You release the kingdom of God here? Bring healing. Bring Your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Let these windows, these jewels of translucent fire, just begin to illuminate right here. Father, I ask that you would just begin to move upon us, call us into a place of depth. This morning, I just want to ask you, if you're looking for your relationship with the Lord, just to move to another place, you've got something that's been holding you back that you want to get beyond, just slip up your hand, would you? I just want to move forward. I just want to find life. I want to done being stuck. I want to be done with being stuck. Father, would You come with life here? Maybe you want to have a bolder witness for Christ. Be able to share your faith without feeling performance or without being afraid of what others might think of you. Holy Spirit, come. You're here and you've got just unhealed wounds from yesterday. The Lord wants to just set you free. He wants to heal you. Come. So we're going to worship for just the next few moments here. You can feel free to move from your seats or just simply receive right where you're at. Some of us, we're going to pray for you. right where you're at, or if you move forward, we might find us moving through the room and just touching you. But I just want to encourage you just to receive here for the next few minutes. Come, Holy Spirit, and touch us right here. Let power come. Feel free to move around right now. If you want to get out of your seats, that's okay. If you want to find some space. We love you, Father God, and we ask that you would come. Increase your presence.
And he is jealous for me, blows like a hurricane. I am a train bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us.